For several decades, the United States Navy and other branches of the military have performed a series of training exercises in the Gulf of Alaska during the spring and summer months. The Navy is required to file an Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, which needs to be updated every 5 years. The public comment period for the latest supplemental EIS closes next week. These exercises are conducted in some of Alaska's key fish habitats, so environmental concerns have been raised. KCHU's Marsha Lynn has more.
My first question is, why has the Navy chosen this location?
The primary reason we're looking at the Gulf of Alaska is to be able to do joint training. So I'm sure you've heard of the Northern Edge exercise. It's a very large joint exercise, you know, between U.S. Armed Forces. So we have Army and Air Force and Coast Guard and Navy, as well as the state and other federal and local agencies, as well as some non-governmental organizations that are involved in this.
This is Leanne Nakahara, Public Affairs Officer for the Navy's Northwest Region. She says although other military exercises are done off the coasts of California and Hawaii, the colder and rougher Alaskan waters are more challenging. But the area they've chosen encompasses four different seamounts in the Gulf of Alaska.
Within their map of the training area, there are actually designated areas of essential fish habitat for all five species of Pacific salmon. So that's right, they want to conduct these training exercises in essential fish habitat.
This is Emily Stolarczyk, Program Manager for the Cordova-based Iyak Preservation Council, whose mission is to protect the Iyak culture of the Copper River Delta and Alaska's wild salmon habitat. Stolarczyk is concerned about how debris left on the ocean floor will affect fish populations.
They are asking for permits to be able to explode real bombs, use real missiles, real torpedoes, naval gun shells, the heavy duck guns, and do two large carrier strikes. So basically exploding really big ships and sinking them.
The project manager for the Gulf of Alaska EIS is Commander Alex Stone of the Navy's Pacific Fleet. He says the effects on fish are negligible.
We haven't seen really any impacts on fish populations as a result of our activities. If anything, a small number of fish could be affected locally, but we haven't seen any kind of like long-term impacts to fisheries. Our activities generally are, you know, very compatible with active fisheries, and we have active fisheries in a lot of the places where we do training year-round.
But Stolarczyk maintains it's more difficult to assess how fish are harmed by either debris or the use of sonar than it is for marine mammals.
Unfortunately, because fish are harder to track and they're harder to study than marine mammals, there has been very few studies on the effects that human-generated sound may have on fish. So they just don't know.
Information about marine mammal sonar interaction is readily available, says Stone.
A tremendous amount of studies have been done. It's definitely an area where the Navy has invested a huge amount of research in. Marine mammals can definitely be affected by sonar if they're very close to where the sonar is operating.
He says this is how the Navy handles the problem.
If there are marine mammals close to where the sonar is operating in that area that could be harmful, we either power down the sonar to a lower level, or if they're really close, then we turn the sonar off altogether.
One of the main reasons for doing a supplemental EIS every 5 years is to ensure that the National Marine Fisheries Service keeps issuing the permits needed for these training exercises to continue. Part of that process is factoring in comments from the public. Stolarczyk says one of the best ways for people to get their arms around this very complicated issue is to do some research.
I would encourage everybody that's interested to go on that website and spend some time, read it, look at what they're asking for, look at the alternatives, and read their EIS, the supplemental EIS, their scoping, their intent.
The complete draft SEIS and a wealth of other information on the issue can be found on the website www.goaeis.com. The public comment period ends on Monday, October 20th, so there's still time to offer comments online at that web address. In Valdez, I'm Marcia Lynn.